Sea el primero en enterarse de nuestras nuevas transmisiones suscribiéndose a nuestro canal de YouTube, Ministerios Palabra de Fe. No olvides darle like, comentar y compartir.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for your truth and thank you for your word. Thank you that you are with us. And thank you for the revelation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We praise you for it and we receive your word. And we believe that we receive it. We believe that you speak to us, you teach and instruct us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, we're going to study that God and His Word are one. God and His Word are one. You see the attacks of the devil and of the enemy towards the Bible, towards the Word of God. Now let's see something here very quickly with the Word. God and His Word are one. Chapter 6, verse 14 of John. John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then in verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Look at verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? See verse 10. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Now, in the New Living Translation, do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but the Father who lives in me does His work through me. Notice this, Jesus and the Father are one. Now, chapter 17. In verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. Notice this, that they also may be one in us. So now we're involved. So the Father, the Lord Jesus, and us are one in the Spirit. So how do we put this with the Word? Because we're seeing that God and His Word are one. So that's a very good question, and we'll be seeing it right now. Now again, that all may be one, as you, the Father, are in me. Now, explaining this, where we're at right now, the same book of John, go to chapter 1, verse 1. 1-1. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now in the New Living Translation, this is the better translation. In the beginning, the Word already existed. So who is the Word? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see that Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So notice how God, when referring to God the Father and Jesus are one. So Jesus is who? The Word, referring there. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus and God are one. So God and His Word are one. The interesting thing here is that the word in the Greek is logos, and it's speaking of this. Here, this is the word from Genesis to Revelations. All of this is referring to the Lord Jesus. Actually, in chapter 5, I know I'm giving a lot of Bible right now, but this is so good, and there's so much to explain. Now, how many of you know that we're not going to convince everyone? But some people will have their attention captured with the help of the Lord Jesus. This is very tremendous with what's going on outside right now. But it's the times that going, I'm not scared. I don't like them. I don't like the times of right now, but I'm not scared by them either. So John 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures. Which is this word, or this logos here. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. See that there? So the scriptures give testimony of Jesus. Very interesting. That means, looking at all of this, this word is God speaking to us. And you have to meditate this if you don't completely understand it. And let that the Holy Spirit help you and that you receive a revelation. Because then the following question that I would ask to the whole world, the Christian world in general, if we believe that this is the Word of Jesus, why do we not do what the Word of God says? In some areas or in many areas. It's a question. It's not a scolding or condemnation towards anyone. Perhaps could it be that we don't believe what the Word says? Or we doubt? But if we truly believe that this is the Word, that this God and His Word are one, in other words, if someone said, how can I know and hear the voice of God, someone who was just born again? How can I develop that inner voice? Well, we've studied a lot through our conscience, through the human spirit. The Holy Spirit also speaks to us, but the highest is the Word. And many times people are born again, but for some reason they don't receive baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues, for whatever reason. So then if they're taught, every single time they open their Bible, it's God speaking to them. Eventually they will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Make myself understood. Now, I believe 2 Peter. I just remember something where the Lord reminded me of something here. 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1. Verse 16. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we make known to the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Now remember here, Apostle Peter is speaking. And he said, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. So Apostle Peter here is speaking of when him and some of the disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember that story in the Gospels. So Peter here, now advanced in age, being now an apostle, many years have passed after this event. He was no longer the Peter that we saw in the Gospels, that fearful Peter, guided by his feelings or by emotions. Now he was a mature man, filled with the Holy Spirit, experiencing the ministry. So here he was telling us this. He was teaching, writing this letter. Notice, I'm going to read 17 again. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. Excellent glory, voice saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we, notice now in 18, when he was with, again, with the other disciples, heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. He says something here, very good. He was trying to tell those who he wrote this letter to is, don't just try to hear the voices, because, for example, here, Peter and the disciples in this moment were not seeking, trying to hear voices. Do I make myself understood? That's what he was warning us about. Don't seek to hear voices. Don't seek those signs. It's the signs and signals are supposed to follow you. So what do we seek? The Lord Jesus, His Word, spending time with Him. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. So when he used that expression prophetic, he was not referring about the simple miracle of prophecy, nor was he speaking of a word of wisdom or knowledge, which are also gifts of the Holy Spirit. The prophetic word here that he's referring to are the scriptures. Amen. Now, this does not mean that we do not believe in prophecies or in words of wisdom or knowledge in any way. Am I saying that? But Peter is not referring to those. The prophetic word confirmed is referring to the Word of God, especially as we saw these letters, the second book of Peter, according to historic data. Neither of us were there, so give or take, it was around the year 68 that this letter was written. Similar to the time of 2 Timothy, which Paul wrote. So, what they studied here was the Law of Moses, the Psalms, and the Prophets. And also, by this time, parts of the letters of Apostle Paul were studied, which is why Peter mentions them in the last of his chapters when he says that how the letters that Paul wrote to the ungodly then twist, referring to that. But first of all, they would study the Law of Moses, the Psalms, and the Prophets. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, which is His Word, because God and His Word are one. Now, I believe it's in Psalms 119. Well, yes, it's in Psalms 119. What was that? What, 105? What, 119? 105, thank you. It's good to have good disciples that help each other out. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Psalms 119, 105. Now help me with the New King James Version. Your word is a lamp and a light to my path. See this there? So the word, what it shows us, Of course, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Word, but you can't hear anything and receive anything that is not in line with the Word of God. Now, going back to where we were, 2 Peter. Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. So we also have the prophetic word confirmed. Can you see there? Which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. So do you agree that the world is very dark right now? Saying because it's nighttime. You know what this is referring to? So if we, as children of God here on this earth, do not represent the Word of God. Question. Is God in trouble? Because all God has here are His children, His body. It's His church. Remember how Apostle Paul said in the book of Corinthians, we are ambassadors. What is an ambassador? It's a representative. So the question would be, what type of representatives are we? Not talking about personal from you, just in general. It's a question. I'm not attacking anyone. It would be, how good has the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, has they represented God toward the world? It's a very good question, right? Well, every single one of us can make an effort in the Lord in every day to represent Him better. But we have to have the Word here and act on it. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, if I'm not mistaken. Now, where we're at, 2 Peter, verse 21. For prophecy never came, again, the word prophecy here is referring to the confirmed word of God of the Scriptures. Never came by the will of man. But here it comes. Meaning that the Scriptures were not written just because someone decided to. Have they told you out there from the people, oh, it's because the Bible was written by people, by men? Well, many have said that. Oh man, people have written it. You have to believe because they're men, same as us. Yeah, it's true, because God uses people. God uses men. But of course, it says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, meaning it was never inspired just by human ideas, but by holy men of God, here it comes, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, moved or inspired by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to use this bottle as an example. Imagine that this bottle is one of those men of God, the prophets, the many authors of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. You know that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, which is known as the Pentateuch. So imagine that here, this is it, God is like this. He breathed that word over the spirit of those men. Remember how it says in John, that the Lord Jesus at the end, when He was with His disciples, He said, receive the Holy Spirit, and He blew over them. Yeah. So they received that inspiration, that revelation, And they wrote, that's true, but inspired by the Spirit of God. So when all of them passed and the years passed in the year 397 in Tunisia, it was made canon, it was placed in order. What is known as the New Testament. And of course, they were translated from Greek and Hebrew. So when you hear people say that, please, you have the Holy Spirit here in you. When you hear that, oh, the Bible, this. Saw that? 2 Timothy 3? Now you'll understand this much better. 2 Timothy 3. And I believe you'll start respecting God and His Word more. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice, again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Again, you saw what I just did with the bottle. Notice this in version in English. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it is given by inspiration. It is given. So you can have confidence that the Spirit of God will speak to you personally. In any situation, you pray in the Spirit, you pray in other tongues. You can read a passage and the Lord will speak to you. I'm not saying that we're just going to receive to just preach and give a teaching. That's another level. That's another thing in and of itself, which is why the Lord said in James, speaking through the apostle and pastor, James, He said, do not try to be teachers, because teachers are not just talking about the gift of operating as a teacher of those who preach, but because it'll bring great condemnation. For that reason, the Lord Jesus in His Word demands good testimony of all His children, but He gives a greater responsibility to His preachers. Why do you think the devil, whenever he tries to destroy a church, who do you think he knocks over first? The pastor. What does the Bible say? It will hurt the pastor, and the sheep will be scattered. And many of them are falling in heresies, in very perverse things. Okay, I'll speak on that on another time. Now, before recording, I said it was very important that you would pay attention to this. And actually, I wasn't going to put this through the internet. I always did it on Tuesday. But I had a prompting to do that so that you could see this teaching again and so you could understand what I'm going to speak in the coming sessions on what the sin of the children of Eli did. I remember how the Bible says in the epistles of John, it speaks of the sin of death. And I'm going to touch, I think some of you already know, you're very good studiers, and since I've already taught on this, you already know, so I know if I ask you, all of you at the same time will even start fighting to answer. But you know the difference between what is the unforgivable sin, or what is known as the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is the same, and the sin of death. The Lord Jesus spoke of the unforgivable sin, and there's a difference. And I'm going to touch on that on the coming sessions. But which is why you have to pay attention and to believe what is here in the Word. Right here. Amen. You saw that all Scripture is inspired by God. So 2 Timothy 3:16. And is profitable for doctrine. And sometimes for reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God, or woman here speaking of just the human race, may be complete, being mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That we know how to do we know to understand what we're even speaking of? So what does all this have to do? Why do Christians, what does all this have to do with politics? Exactly. We have to see why we speak certain things. A man or a woman who is not mature, as it says here, will say, well, why do we have to speak on that? Because they have not let the word fall in them. Okay, so let's see why this is so important. Are you learning something of this? It's very interesting. God and His Word are one. So Psalms 138. Because many Christians, if you notice, many of them decide things. They take decisions. And never, ever, ever will they consult the Bible. They don't let the Bible get in their way. Amen. Let the Bible get in your way. And it's marvelous how the Holy Spirit and the written word work united. They're linked together. There's a link between them that's very strong. In Psalms 138, verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple, verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple. I am praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. So that means God loves us unconditionally, but not just because He loves us unconditionally does He mean He will violate His own word. Well, Brother Hughes, I live in sin, I do whatever I want, and well, at least God loves me so much that He'll never count it against me and nothing will happen. That's not true. That's not true. It's true that He loves us, that's true. But here, He has placed His word above all things, because in His word are the laws of God. Actually, for love towards us, He has linked His soul with an obligation with His word, which is why God and His word are one. Notice in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, glory to God. Hebrews 6. Notice what verse 12 says. From verse 12 to verse 20. This is very interesting. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, is this, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. He could not swear for another greater. He swore for himself. Why? Because God and His word are one. He has placed His word above all other things. So my brothers and sisters, He will not violate His word. And that's when you and I have to make a decision. And you know what that quality decision is? It's that decision where, I'll give you a quality decision where that Nuvi and I made more than 20 years ago. That our lives would be based personal, matrimonial, family, including our children, any other member in our family, and ministry will be based on what is written here, and we will not be moved by it. So a quality decision is this. It's where all discussion ceases. We will not argue for the word. We will not make an argument. We're not going to argue. If we see what's in the word, it's done. there's no argument to be made. Amen. We will not argue. We will not question. Amen. And we will live by that word. We will continue forward. We will do it no matter what. And it'll cost you. You know why it'll cost you? Because the devil is going to come and circumstances, and understand what I'm saying. I don't want to sound rude against anyone. He could use people in your work, friends, even your own family, to question you and your faith and why you do things. Your Christian faith is what I'm talking about. And you're going to have to make this decision and say, you know what? God is first in my life. He is first above all, and then the rest follows. It's amazing how when you put God first, God will give you an anointing, a wisdom, that your family will start following you. Amen. I'm going to share something very, very, very funny. Have you seen those husbands where they'll act, or it's me, or the church, or the things of God? A man that I know said to his wife from a family that I knew. They live in another city. And the wife was sharing this with me. This was a couple years ago. Now they're in a better position. But back then, the husband, oh, it's too much church, too much serving God, and this and that. And the wife said, look, you cannot whine. You arrive from work, the house is clean, you have your clothes, you have food, and I go to the services in the middle of the week, and then at the end of the service, in the end of the weekend, you can come to church with me. And no. And one day the husband wanted to get more macho. They said, well, or it's the church and the things of God or me. Well, he thought, I don't know what he thought. Because this woman, this sister in Christ, is a woman in Christ, not those emotional women. No, she's firm, dedicated to God. And she said, well, look, I love you, but if I have to choose between my God, my Lord, Jesus Christ, and serving, and you, well, you know what? Who loses? You. Oh, well, because it was on a Sunday, and he got very macho. I know that all the men here tonight do not understand, because they've never gotten like that. That you've never gotten like that, which is why you don't understand. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's difficult for many of you to relate to this. So he said, well, if you go, when you come back, I won't be here. And I'm going to grab my things and I'm going to go. And she said, well, okay, just wait a moment. And the husband thought, oh, well, she was going to remove her clothes. Like, she was going to change because she had her church clothes. She was going to get in her pajamas or something to stay with her husband. She went to a closet there. So what are you doing? And she said, she went and grabbed his luggage. She said, here's your luggage so you don't struggle. You can put all your things here. Huh? But she was calm. Don't think that she was crying or... Now, of course, some of the women... I know many of the women here cannot relate to this because you just don't know. You weren't all red with your makeup running. No, none of that. None of you know what that is. She was calm with a smile. She said, okay, well, here's your luggage. Do you need anything else, my love? Because, you know, it's getting late for me. I don't want to arrive late to church. The husband God of all types of colors, because those husbands who think, oh, I'm God. They may not say it, but they think it. What are you going to do without me, dummy? And the husband didn't know what to say. He's like, oh, here you go. Here's your luggage. And then she saw the clock. She said, well, you know what? I still have time. What clothes do you want me to put in here? I can help you with something. No, I'll do it by myself. I'm not crippled or anything. You know, it's macho things. And the wife said, well, there's your luggage. Better that way, I don't have to. Because I also left you food in case you want to eat before you leave. And she left. Guess what? When she came back, well, the husband wasn't there. The clothes, neither. Or some clothes, the majority. Well, he left. And I said, and sister, did you call him? And I said, no, I didn't call. I just let him go. I just said, Lord, Help that hard head of my husband. Oh, how good you are. No, she was comfortable. She was fine. At night, husband arrived. With the luggage in hand. And he said, well, so you don't get mad. I mean, the wife wasn't mad at all. And you're not sad. Fine. Go to your church to serve. And I'll never bother you about it. Okay. Like nothing happened. She was comfortable. She was fine. You know, she wasn't crying. She wasn't red or with her makeup running. You see? I know neither the men or the women of this church can relate. Because you've never done anything like this. So you can't even imagine it. But the man changed with time. Said that one day he got up, she got up, and the husband wasn't there. Where did he go? She thought. So she went, got changed. When she went to the kitchen, husband already made breakfast. He was changed. He put a suit on. And the wife looked at him like, wow, you look so handsome. Where are you going? Do you want coffee? Yeah. But, you know what? But where are you going? You look very handsome. Where are you going? Well, I was thinking if I could go to you to church. Now, of course, months passed for this to happen. But, you know, a woman of prayer where her source was God and the Word. And she saw change. Amen. Well, I don't see change. Well, yeah, because the husband doesn't see change in you, or vice versa. He sees that you depend you depend too much on each other. Now, of course, a matrimony should have respect and love, but that's where that connection is. It's like a triangle. The wife and the husband are united, but they're united through the Lord Jesus. That's where there's victory. And two people completely different, because perhaps we were brought up in different families, different cultures, different ways of thinking. Amen. Where I grew up in the colony, where I grew up with my family there in Hermosillo, there are some very, very long streets and houses on both sides. Both sides of the sidewalk, many houses there. It's a very central area there, close to the university. Very accessible to the city. You know what? Nubia, I was sharing what I did to Nubia, and you know, Nubia couldn't even think of doing that when she was a girl. I would go ding dong ditching through every neighborhood, and I never got bored because there were many streets. Amen. And I mean, I was a troublemaker. You see how we grew up very differently? And how we have more than 20 years married. It's been the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Word. So what did he say here in verse 13? For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. He couldn't swear for anyone else. Why? Verse 14, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. So receive that. You and our descendants of Abraham, spiritually speaking. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swore by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Notice how men indeed swear by the greater, but they also falter in their own word. But God does not falter. God placed his word so high. So if you do your part, God will do his part of the covenant. There is a covenant of blood there. All animals that were sacrificed. And not just under the law of Moses. Remember when God made a covenant with Abraham there in Genesis? It was because, well, God isn't a human. So he had to use the blood of animals. It was the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus and God the Father are one, and His Word are one. But you know how they would do the covenants back then? They'd cut their hands here, and then they'd grab each other, and there was a connection of blood there, and it was forever, and those people respected that. How many of you know who Mephibosheth was? Yes, he was grandson of Saul, son of Jonathan. And what happened? Why did David honor him? Because remember the pact that they made? David and Jonathan? Glory to God. Now we have a covenant, a blood covenant. You know why I'm still with the same mentors of faith? Amen. Because I have a covenant with my God and with them. Which is why I have not changed. I have not changed of teaching or of doctrine. Because here my God and His Word are one. That in Proverbs, glory to God. God and His Word are one. How many of you understand that now? Now, you know what? Don't go there. I cited Proverbs 22:28, but going back to Hebrews 6, verse 17. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, unchanging things. Which two unchanging things? Verse 17 tells you. The act that of a promise, and He made an oath over that promise. Abundantly to the heirs of promise, the immutability of His counsel confirmed it by an oath. So, by those two immutable things, that He made an oath and a promise in which it is impossible for God to lie. Glory to God. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Glory to God. God and His Word are one. Do you believe that? So, from Genesis to Revelation, God and His Word are one. Now, of course, as I said, we're not killing sheep or goats and making sacrifices now. But we do respect God, and many of those sacrifices were offerings. So we bring offering now. Amen. You see how the principle is the same? Now let's see something with what's going on tonight in the spiritual world. This is in the spiritual world. But you and I are not moved neither by the world nor in the kingdom of darkness. We are in the business of the kingdom, which is why we come regardless of what the world is celebrating. You and I come for the business of our Father. So let's see something in Leviticus. Glory to God, good thing that I came. Leviticus chapter 19. Listen to this, please. Leviticus, yes, Leviticus. But that's in the Old Testament, exactly. It's in the first covenant, which is what the church has studied in the almost first 4 centuries. This is for our culture, part of our culture. Pay attention to those who are listening through radio, television, especially here in the state of Sonora. You have to understand, it's not a criticism towards anyone. And for those who watch through all of Mexico and any country that have this custom. This custom, regardless of how good it is in our Hispanic inheritance, our Hispanic, well, there's custom that is contrary to the Word of God. And it's and it's eating the blood of the animal. We can enjoy part of our culture, but taking care that it does not contradict the word of God. Is this Leviticus 19? You shall not. Now go to Acts 15. Actually, 15, verse 19. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. And then, verse 28, God and His Word are one. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. These necessary things. This is what we will impose on you to those who are converted, that you abstain from things offered to idols. And then I'll mention something else here that when people read this, they don't completely understand. From blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. From strangled things is referring to killing an animal by choking it or hanging it, which is such an inhumane way of killing. So the blood, it was eating the blood because life resides in the blood. If you keep yourselves from these, verse 29, if you do well to keep yourselves from these, you do well. Farewell. I like eating it so much. Well, I'm just saying what the Word of God says. I'm not telling you what to eat and what not to eat. But if you believe that God and His Word are one, and you want to honor God, you're all very quiet. Well, you saw it in the Word of God, and you see how I told you that God and His Word are one? Well, there it is. I'm just telling you what this is. And in verse 18 of consulting witchcrafts. We have the Holy Spirit. This isn't for anyone else. Glory to God. Verse 28. Leviticus 19:28. You shall not take, not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Notice in the New Living Translation. Do not cut your bodies for the dead, and do not mark your skin with tattoos. That's for someone who passed away. You don't need any of that. So why did God make the put these laws here? Because these things were made by the other pagan nations. Before continuing, that same verse in English, the Amplified Classic, in the Amplified Classic, that same verse that we're seeing in the Amplified Classic, it's very clear. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print or tattoo any marks upon you. You don't eat any of that. You're not going to go to hell for it if any of you have had a tattoo. There are people who already come with tattoos from the Lord. Many people in the world make tattoos and they're tattooed now here in the kingdom. But I'm saying, if I were to have a tattoo, I'm not going to go to hell or lose my salvation. But why would I have to disobey God? Why would I have to let myself be influenced by the world? But Brother Hughes, what's so wrong with it? Not that it's wrong or not. It's that God wants you to be different. You're already tattooed, but here in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Yours is spiritual. Yours and mine is spiritual. We don't have to have things exterior. That's what those pagan countries would do. And God gave them laws because God wanted them to be a special nation. Special, different. Why? Because when you're different, you will receive different results. Amen. You'll be different. You don't need any of that. You don't need to have the devil reminding you every single time that something happens. I know this is very critical and people will get mad with this when they hear this, perhaps on television or something, but it doesn't matter. I need to honor God first. So a family member dies and quickly they want to make an altar there. Why is it that every single time you pass there, the devil will remind you and make you suffer? Why? We have celebrations where the day of the witches and then the day of the dead. What does the Bible say? The last enemy that will be destroyed is who? The death. What does God call death? Enemy. The enemy of God. Why do we have to celebrate pagan things? We can recognize our family members, especially if they're in glory in the presence of the Lord. Because you and I have already been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. Another system. Another kingdom. Perhaps people of the world are going to hear me not understand. It's probable. But I say it in respect and in love. It's not my fault. I have to do what God and His Word says. Someone say amen. Now, Corinthians 15. Wrong one. Where are we? Thought it was there where it says the enemy. See, scream it to me like last time, like right now. First Corinthians 15:16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. 15:26 is also good. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And then 15:55 is also a good one. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So we don't have to be celebrating the dead, where even the governments are celebrating now and promoting them. Oh, it's because my government celebrates it and I'm of this country and so what? First is the kingdom of God. Someone say amen. I'm saying if you truly want to honor God. Leviticus 19 again where we were at. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Now, why do we do this? Between Christians, why? There's a reason. I'm talking about a reason, not criticism here. There's a reason. Because the word is not placed in their hearts. They don't have a relationship with the written word. And many times people do things based on emotions. And they let their emotions dictate them instead of letting the Word and the Holy Spirit dictate them. We don't need any of that. We don't need to celebrate anything of what the world celebrates. Well, the kid would like to have gone to have candy. Well, would you go? You dress up as Peter of Michael or something. Hallelujah. Be dressed in the spirit. We don't need any of that, brothers and sisters. Why do we want to imitate the world? Do you not see how the world, what the world is? They're killing each other out there, calling each other names and this and that, cursing each other, hating each other, doing this, but lying. I mean, it's terrible. And if there's a football parties against each other, well, they are fighting against each other. They don't even know what bathrooms to go to. Promoting all the ungodly. Brothers and sisters, you and I are different. Amen. Understand that. You know how you'll understand it? Not just praying, but putting the Word in your heart. And when we speak of things, where is the Bible? You can compare all things with the Bible. Many of these politicians that are here in the United States should say, go look at Brother Hughes on Kingdom and Government. He speaks against the policies of your opponent, but he attacks the policies, not the person. God sent us, God didn't send us to be attacking people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 31. Give no reward to mediums and family spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Amen. Tell me if the world isn't in darkness. Look at 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. Nowadays, there is no respect for the elders. People speaking some terrible things, cursing in front of elders, in front of both elders of both genders. And you know, you and I are different. Hallelujah. Now go to Leviticus 16. This is also good. But we don't honor anyone anymore for our elders. And not just elders, what about a young person? 15, 16, 18 years old. What if you honor someone who was double your age? Chapter 26. It's also good. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is speaking to you and will continue revealing things to you. You listen to this teaching, he will reveal more things to you. You say, hey, but I was there. How did I not catch that? Things like that happen. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, verse 5, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat of the bread till you are full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land. Brothers and sisters, regardless of who wins in elections, you know, we want someone to win. But, hey, glory to God, regardless of how the situation is, the country, wherever you are, if you have to be there for whatever reason, if God placed you there, we do not want the rest of the nations to be in that situation, because people suffer. The people suffer, and that's not good. But if the people do not hear, the governments do not hear. Look at what this says. Mark it, it's for you. I will give peace in the land. Just for us. you and I will not lack anything, glory to God. Peace means prosperity. The word peace means that we are complete in our lives. I will give you peace and you shall lie down and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts and the sword will not go through your land. The word land, glory to God. But my God, you could say, oh, but I'm of this land, I'm of this country. Not just the swords, but bullets as well. But the word your land in the Hebrew can also mean your country, your kin, your home, your house. Not just referring to a country, but the land of which you dwell. You will chase your enemies and they shall fall by the sword before you. You and I are not chasing people. We go against the devil and of demons. Hallelujah. Now, verse 9. Well, actually 8. 5 of you shall chase 100 and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to fight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. Poverty will fall before you. Hallelujah. Illness will fall before you. Dissension will fall before you. Division. If any of your children are in the world and all that, all those spirits will leave now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now in 9, for I will look to you favorably. There we go. For I will look favorably on you and make you fruitful. The favor of God. Glory to God. Now, look at this version. Verse 9. I have it written there in my bathroom on a post-it note. Verse 9. Now listen to it. I will give you all my attention. I will assure that you prosper. I will make sure that you grow in number. I will maintain my covenant with you in a good state of function. I'll read it one more time, which is why I said that you need to hear this teaching one more time. That verse in another version. I will give you all my attention. I will give you all my attention. I will make sure that you prosper. I will assure that you grow in number. Hallelujah. Your bank account will grow in number. Amen. And all that you do, all your businesses. Hallelujah. I will maintain my covenant with you in good state of function. So good. Verse 10. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. So you will have everything. Verse 11. I will set my tabernacle among you. And my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you, and you be your God, and you shall be my people. Remember how in all scripture, just to show you, again, there's many, but just to share this part, remember how the church, when they would study this. Well, if you remember this last part, I will be among you, and I will be to you your God and you shall be my people. Apostle Paul mentioned it in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you and the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Because Apostle Paul, you quoted much of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. The Bible says, honor your God with your goods. Honor Him. Honor Him. I will continue speaking on honor, dishonor, all these subjects. Here I spoke of dishonor, of when we do things. Do not dishonor God, brothers and sisters. If you want to see greater honor in your home, if you want to see greater blessing, do not dishonor God. We can sometimes do things out of ignorance. So let's give tonight. Stand on your feet, please. Now, before giving, I'd like to pray over some of you. I don't know if someone tells me, oh, I want to pray for you. I let myself be loved. I let myself be cared for. Amen. Thank you, Father. Do you agree with me in something else? I'll tell you what it is, but agree with me with what? Well, I'm believing that they will give me top dollar. How is it? The best price in some animals that I went to go drop off yesterday. I went to go, I think next week or the week that's coming, we're going to pick up the money. And Nubia and I made a promise with God that we will give everything 100%. Now, why do I say it? So you can agree with me. When I say you agree with me, it's because I believe a pastor should also give the example, not just speak on giving. It's something that Nubia and I want to do. It's something that we want to do. Because we're very thankful with God. Very, very thankful. If I told you everything, we'd be coming out here very late. We're very thankful. Very thankful. Enters in the faith. Very thankful. Still being able. I don't like to use the word business, but you remember how in the Spanish version it said occupy or negotiate. While I come. Occupy territory. But we're still serving God. We'll keep going forward.
And God has been good. And amid so many things, you would say many personal things as well. God has been good and we are happy with Him and grateful. We are sowing and we also want to personally reap. Nubia and I want to also reap from what we have sown and we have planted good seed. And I'm pleased that there are people who believe in this. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. Father, we thank you and we love you. And tonight I want to pray for everyone. For every brother and sister here, every family, every individual, every youth, every husband, wife, every single person, every brother, every sister. For all our brothers and sisters, our partners in the Word of Faith Ministries in different places, I thank you for their lives. Thank you for their families. Thank you for every plan you have placed in their hearts. And I lift them up in prayer before you, speaking that peace, first and foremost, tranquility in their homes. In your homes, peace, peace of the Spirit of God, peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. A palpable peace so that we can enter each brother's home and say, here, you can even feel that peace. For the anointing of God's Spirit moves in every corner. Let there be no strife, no cursing, no words contrary to your word. But we put a stop to all of that. And we depend entirely on you, Lord. We speak of the Lord's joy, and we are joyful for you, for your presence, because we are beloved children. Thank you. Lord, as you are aware, and not all of us know in the natural, certain things are occurring in our country's financial situations, but we claim your covenant. We just read something about that. You said, speak yourself to justify, we will have judgments. We justify ourselves by what is written. You said it. Just now we have read that it is impossible for you to lie, and we cling to this covenant. And we thank you for you also said in the book of Jeremiah, behold, I am hastening my word to perform it. And we thank you and we rejoice in you while we await the manifestation of what we believe in. You are the reason for our joy. You are the reason for our praise, for our worship. You are the reason, and I give thanks for that. I give thanks for all of our brethren, the families represented here, all our partners and everyone in different places. We give thanks that you are opening doors. May the word continue, and even more so. Greater riches are coming, and we thank you, Lord. I declare that whatever your children sow tonight, everyone who's planting seeds here or at home, they can also do it online. If they have received the word, and for anyone watching us for the first time or the second or the third time, and for those of you who regularly draw spiritual insights from this, please consider, and I'll say it again, consider partnering with Word of Faith Ministries to help us spread this message of faith and the principles of God's kingdom to various parts through television, radio, and the internet. To 93 and up to 95 countries, through the internet and through television in different cities and states, thank you. Consider that what you give goes literally towards global evangelism. Worldwide discipleship in various places that watch us on the internet, through our app, on the website. And may each offering that you give, this ministry has remained sexually pure to this day. Nubia and I aren't involved in anything improper. There's been no adultery, nothing like what we promised the Lord when we started. Financially pure, we haven't embezzled money, we haven't used money for ourselves. Doctrinally pure, those were our promises to the Lord. Doctrinally pure, that's right. Sexually pure, financially pure, and doctrinally pure. We steer clear of preaching heresies, false gospels. Instead, we promise the Lord that He would help us to preach a balanced biblical word which everyone who listens to us and comes to this church can trust. And we thank you, Lord, for this. We know you speak to people's hearts, both here and those who will give tonight, and I am in agreement. Nubia and I are in agreement. And as shepherds under the great shepherd of the sheep, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, we speak multiplication, abundance, and that nothing shall be lacking in your homes. We lack nothing in this spiritual house, and we thank you for that honor you grant us, Lord. We're grateful that we don't have to resort to making tamales or selling tacos or such things. Not that I'm criticizing anyone, but we refrain because it's part of staying united. Pure in doctrine. Amen. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.